Perth's 92.5 Triple M Gold.
With another Flan, Ali and Spider podcast.
Okay, so Ali, no Spider and no Flan. Ooh. With this podcast intro. Flan had to get home and start building, what is it,
a Chook Tower.
So a chook pen, but like a big skyscraper.
He's saying it's a high rise for chooks, but I'm thinking it's going to be the Leaning Tower of Poultry.
Yeah, poultry, I like
I'm
that.
Trying to think of a better name.
It's very Flan though, isn't it? He is so random. He's Flandom every
He's
day.
He's Flandom.
And I love that about him.
I cannot wait to see this chook shed.
Yeah.
You know.
Let's be honest. It's not going to be finished at any stage soon, right?
I might try and sneak over during the Easter break and just have a little
take
look
a
at the
photo,
progress.
Please.
I will.
Spider had to get to the airport because he's just doing a quick 4-day trip to New Zealand to go and see his in-laws. Who does that? Who goes without his wife to go and see his in-laws?
Spider does. You know why? Because he said that they love him more than they love their own daughter, Cherie.
Isn't that
Spider's wife?
Does Cherie know that, do you think?
She would. Well, you know what? I'm backing Cherie here, and you know why?
Why?
Because Spider told me that Cherie's dad still pays for her mobile phone bill.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Mind you, that's probably why he's going over to negotiate them paying his phone bill.
All right, so the best of is coming up. We've got Flan's Poem of the Week. It's kind of like a Friday. He does it on a Friday, but it's the Thursday before Easter long weekend. The Poem of the Week is epic. He finds something that rhymes with, and I can't say this player's name.
Tino Fa'asu Malawi.
And Flan worked for all day yesterday to find something that rhymes with that.
Yes, he did.
Well done. The Magpie and the Staffy story, which is here on the Gold Coast, has gone international. We're talking about Molly and Peggy. Is that right?
Well done,
yeah,
Al.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They are absolutely adorable. If you haven't seen what they're up to, head to the Instagram page.
Yes.
Peggy. It's either Peggy and Molly or Molly and Peggy. It's so cute. Yes, this magpie has been taken off a family that have been caring for it since 2020.
Yeah, they're upset about it.
They are really upset about it. Well, it's like a member of their family's been taken away.
And yes.
As you'll see in the socials, I mean, this magpie just flies away for 2 days and comes back and anyway.
And they really took care of that magpie as well.
They did. They did. The magpie actually barks like a dog as well when the dog's
that is bizarre.
I know.
So we talked to the Triple M Gold family about the wildlife that comes and visits them that they have as pets on and off.
Yes, absolutely.
Spider, he talks about probably the biggest thing to happen in AFL in decades, the drugs issue that's happening at the moment in the AFL is enormous. I think there's a doctor that's come out and said there are 100 players allegedly that have an immunity testing.
How ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like what on earth? The AFL has been absolutely, well, they haven't been rocked by this. Apparently they've known for a very long time.
Yeah.
So that's the scandal.
And Spider's take being, 300-game ex-AFL player, his take on this, you need to hang around with this coming up in the podcast. And we loved having New Zealand's biggest band, LAB, in the studio. They did a song. We chatted to them. I mean, how good. They're here for Byron Bay Blues Fest.
Yes, they are. And honestly, if you are headed to Byron Bay Blues Fest on the Friday, you are in for an absolute treat. I think they're playing maybe in between Matt Corby and Jack Johnson or before Matt Corby anyway.
Yeah, no, well,
you're going.
So they're playing before Matt Corby.
Yep.
And then Matt Corby is on before Jack Johnson. So,
what an amazing lineup, seriously. I'm actually most likely going to head there too.
Are you? Okay, so I've just got the line. I've took a photo of the schedule and it goes, LAB, 6:15, the Crossroads stage, and then Matt Corby on at 8 and then Jack Johnson at 9:30. I got my gumboots.
Yeah, good boy.
And I got my poncho.
Are you going to wear an adult nappy like one of our colleagues did when she went to Pink?
Yes.
Because she wanted to get up the front and not move. So what are you thinking, Al?
I wear one every day. Just so I can get more stuff
done.
You're
ready to roll. Maybe put two on.
Yeah, okay. Let's double layer.
I love that.
All right, here we go. It is the Flan, Ali and Spider podcast, the 92.5 Triple M Gold Breakfast Show.
Al.
Yeah.
How nice is it? Just the two of us without the other boys to just get in the way.
No, I know. Well, do they get in the way, you reckon? Or?
Well.
You're saying this, not me. And on a Friday.
I love it.
Let's wrap it up. Flan. Joe Patterson.
Kind of a crazy week, guys. But look, and it took 12 months or 48 poems, but I'm making the brag. I finally have a rhyme for Tino Fa'asu Malawi.
All right. Mm-hmm. Hit us.
There was movement round the station for word had passed around that Splendour in the Grass is cancelled too. Falls Festival, Splendour, Vintage Vibes and Coastal Jams. Big day out, Valley Ways and Groovin' the Moo.
Gone!
But not Blues Fest, baby, here at Triple M Gold. And not blues on Broadbeach either. There were Russians just watching some theatre, attacked by ruthless thugs. A ship smashed a Baltimore bridge and the sons got flogged like dusty rugs.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I couldn't agree more. P. Diddy's house got raided. I feel for Tino Fa'asua Malawi. His knee is wrecked. His season over. He's saying, I know. Let's see how you go without me.
You cannot be serious.
Just a little. I'm deadly serious, Mr. McEnroe. And both Bulldog teams were Bobby Dazzler. At 32-0, I pulled the stepped-in dog poop face now made famous by Titans coach Desi Hasler. We won't see Kylie at Splendour in the Grass with all of her songs so anthemic. 12 million tourists visited the Gold Coast. Those numbers are better than pre-pandemic. Can the Titans come back?
No.
A semi-finals on the agenda. The bookies say no, same odds as P. Diddy at Splendour.
Oi, bro, you slept with my cousin, eh? And then they pulled out a gun and just went, boom.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with the poem. I just love that quote.
Okay.
Ali didn't make her Easter weight goal, so Spider went kind of berserk. He made Ali walk in a rabbit suit from Southport all the way back to work.
Well, kind of. I only got a kilometre.
Yeah. Ferry road cars, they hooted and honked. Ali let fly with a martial arts pose. She accidentally kicked a sign, which then hit her mask and took a big chunk of skin off her nose.
Ouch.
Now Ali has served her sentence and dreams of toast with cheese all runny. Ooh. Of all the people that I've ever met, she's the only one I know who's lost a fight with the Easter Bunny.
Hey.
And I'm spent.
Yeah.
Boom!
Boom!
On Listener, this is the Flan, Ellie and Spider podcast.
Well, sometimes stories and things that happen in the news end up just having a massive life of their own, and this has happened with a Gold Coast couple, Juliet Wells and Reese Mortensen, who are parents of a beautiful Instagram famous couple called Peggy and Molly. Now, Peggy is their staffie, and Molly is a magpie that they actually rescued back in 2020. When it fell from its nest, they cared for it and the magpie just became a part of their family.
Yeah.
Through its own choice, the magpie will fly off for a few days at a time and then come back. And
yeah.
It, you should see it. If you haven't ever had a look, get on Instagram and check it out. It's just so adorable. The magpie lies there. It barks like the dogs. It's just really become a total part of their family.
And it disappears, Ali, and then just comes back, does it?
It does. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Flies away, then comes back. Now,
it's like a teenager.
What's happened very recently, actually on the 1st of March, is the Environmental Department have seized the magpie. They've taken the magpie off this family, and even the Stephen Miles, the Queensland Premier, has thrown his support behind them having the magpie returned. 44,000 Gold Coasters.
A lot of people
have,
aren't happy
have
with
so
this,
far
aren't
signed
they?
This
yeah.
petition.
It's made national, international news.
International news, absolutely, Al. Have a listen to what Molly's and Peggy's mum said.
We've had Molly around us and the dogs for many years, and yeah, to not have him around, the house is so quiet.
We all miss him.
Miss him a lot.
So that was a current affair.
A current affair
it's,
last night.
It's big if it's on ACI.
It
is.
And
is true.
You know what? There are so many wonderful people that actually have wildlife coming in and living in their homes on a daily basis. I've got a really good friend. He's got a blue tongue lizard that comes in his back door, lives under his fridge, has, you know, a little bit of insects that are under there and goes back out, comes back every few days. And there are just so many people that care for
I love
our
birds.
Wildlife.
I throw a bit of food out to the birds around the magpies.
That surprised me because you don't really love dogs and cats.
Yeah.
But birds are your thing.
Oh, I just think, you know, feed them. I don't know why it was taken away, though, but it's upset a lot of people.
Yes, it has, including one of our very own colleagues, our esteemed Deb Kelsroach, who's one of our queen of sales. Deb, this is you are an absolute animal lover, and you we were chatting about this yesterday, and you were getting pretty upset.
I am, and I'm trying not to cry now because I just think it's there's far more important things to worry about than separating a dog and a magpie. Like, there's youth crime to really worry about.
But you can't put a magpie in youth crime.
No, no, but separate.
What's upsetting about
concentrate
this?
Where the priorities are. But, I mean, the animals are doing no harm. And just remember, a few years back, there was a movie made, Penguin, the magpie. Naomi Watts starred in it.
It's that a movie, Dim.
Yes, no, but no, it's based on true life. Story.
Oh. Yes. Yeah. Well, see, I just think, and I don't know about you, Deb, what upsets me the most is that this poor magpie that's lived with his family for, you know, nearly 4 years now. I mean, I just think, because they're really intelligent animals.
They are.
It must be really upset
It'd
going
be like
through
it's trauma. In jail.
Yes, it's like a child being taken away from their parents.
Is it in a cage now?
Absolutely.
Where it wasn't before, it was flying free, in and out when it wanted. I mean,
they put it in prison.
It is. I mean, I feed birds at home. We've got 2 acres and all breeds come and go as they please.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's wrong. It's really wrong. And I really hope that they correct this wrong because it's just upsetting. And I even talked to you yesterday and then just started to cry. It's just, so imagine this poor family.
Don't stop laughing.
You're listening. That was the sound of Deb Kells Roach smacking spider ever.
As he laughed at her while she's crying.
It's upsetting.
I just think it's just, it's cruel to separate them. They've done nothing wrong. Mm. You know, I mean.
Well, the owner even went and got his, Reese went and got his wildlife license.
I saw that.
All right.
So they've complied, you know, and now they've had the bird taken
off. Well, let's throw it out there and see.
Is it a wildlife license?
Thank you,
Is it a bad photo on that one too?
I need one of those in the 90s.
Yes.
Now, good on you.
We want to know, 1-300-925-666, about, you know, the wildlife you have at home. Because so many people who do have, as Deb said, you've had birds that come around to your place. I always do. Blue-tongued lizard.
Yeah,
do you look after wildlife out there?
That's right. It's not about feeding them or taking them out of their natural environment. It's just that wildlife at times choose to be a part of people's families. We would love to know, do you have wildlife pseudo adopted as a pet?
G'day, Michael in Banal Waters. Michael, have you got wildlife?
I have, mate. In my office there, Pete, I've got 3 possums that we've had for about 8 years, and I give them a bag of carrots every night before I come home, mate.
A bag of carrots?
Love that.
A bag of carrots from Coles. It costs me $2 a day, which is bugger all.
Yeah.
But we feed these 3 possums up in our ceiling at the office up at Dean Lee there, mate.
Oh, that'd be the size of Garfield by now.
Yeah. You know what, Michael? I'm glad you called. I completely forgot. My auntie Les and Uncle Bob up at in Brizzy, they had possums as well for years on their property and did the same, made a little house for it. And now my cousin Carolyn, she does the same thing. They've got pet possums.
Okay, what are the names of the 3?
What are we called? Spider, Flat and Alley.
Can I please be the... Can I be the pretty one?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, of course you can. And the one that's lost all the weight too.
Yes. Hey. I'm on the trail. I tell you, I had another personal training session yesterday. He's done me a favour, he has.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
See you, guys.
Cheers. See you.
You too.
Andrew.
Yes, hello. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. You got wildlife?
Look, I'm a former wildlife carer and rehabilitator.
Yeah.
We used to look after possums and gliders and that sort of thing. I just want to raise a couple of counterpoints to what was being said. Like, it's obviously a really emotive issue.
Yeah.
But in terms of the animals, wildlife and care and that sort of stuff and the ultimate outcomes for the animals, what happens to the magpies and that you're feeding when you move away and the next person comes in and doesn't want to do that?
Yeah.
Like, the animals become...
Okay.
Well, the thing is, though, I totally understand that. I know with this magpie, though, he's away for days on end.
So the other point I'm going to make is, like, this magpie is friendly with their dog.
Yep.
What happens when it comes across a dog and when it's out and about and doing its thing that's not friendly? What happens to the animal? Yeah.
I think this magpie is that clever that it knows only these dogs to be friendly. You know, that's how smart
it is.
Yeah,
I mean, one of the things they do train you in with the whole wildlife rehabilitation is, like, you've got to allow for the fact that the animals don't understand that necessarily, and you've got to make certain that when you're going to release the animals, that they know how to get their own food, that they don't become dependent upon people feeding them, that they're not going to get into themselves into danger because, all that sort of stuff. You just need to think about those other things as well, you know?
Well, thank you very much, because I think you do make a good point. And, yeah, we always think about the motive side of it. You know, you see the Instagram page, you see how many people there, but, you know, there's plenty of places you go around, you know, the world, and, you know, they say don't feed the monkeys because of that.
Made some great points. Andrew. Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
No worries. Thanks for that. You guys have a great day.
You too.
I can't believe how much
insight.
You put some sense into our show. Oh, no. I really appreciate it.
First time for everything for me.
Thank you. Let's get back to the silliness. Your pets that are wild.
G'day, Howard in Helensvale. You've got a couple of what animals? What wildlife do you feed?
Magpies.
Oh, more magpies. Howard, you'd be able to. I've never owned, but, you know, had a magpie come regularly to visit me. Are they real? They sound like they're really smart.
Oh, they're very clever. They come over, they feed with the dogs, and when they have the babies wander around the paddock, I pick them up and take them over and put them with mum and dad so they can feed them.
Oh, how cute. Wow. And you never get swooped?
They've never swooped us whatsoever. Wow.
Do you know why, though? Oh, you'd be able to help me out. Now, I'm not a magpie whisperer, but I'm a big fan of feeding the magpies outside my house, and I never get attacked, and they're always nice to me.
Yeah.
Can a magpie remember 1,000 faces?
Yeah, apparently.
I'm not sure, but they know we're not going to hurt them. We're no threat to them. They know we're no threat. That's why they don't swoop us.
Oh, got you.
So if you abuse one of them, it will continue to have a crack at you. They will never forget you.
Yeah.
No, they don't. The parents actually bring the babies over.
There you go. All right.
Just on the, is it Molly the magpie and the dog? What's the dog's called?
Peggy.
So you talked about it lactating. Was there any success in latching on?
I don't know.
Gee, you're very excited about this, Al.
Come on, Al. You haven't stopped going on.
Mother Nature is amazing.
Well, it would be.
Imagine if it was the other way and a staffy had to hook onto the magpie. You might need the breast pump.
Spiders Sport. Top Sport. Australia's home of sports and race betting. Visit topsport.com.au.
Yeah, well, it was a sad day to be a former AFL player or an AFL player yesterday or an administrator, I think, personally. I'll set the scene and then we'll answer any kind of questions. But at the moment, the AFLPA has a system in place where if a player comes to training and think that they've got drugs in their system, illicit drugs in their system, the club doctor can test that player. And if they've got their own testing kits, and if it it lights up like a Christmas tree and the player is positive to drugs, the doc then can say, okay, let's try and work out a system where you will not play on the weekend because if you get caught, you'll get, you know, 4 years. So now the doctor and the player, they lie to the club, they make a story by saying, you know, either you've got gastro or you've done an injury, you cannot play.
Yep.
So that's pretty much the crux of it. And they're saying that there's up to 100 players under this system at the moment. A lot of them are over three strikes, and it kind of takes away the policy of the three-strike rule with the AFL and their drug code. So have a listen here, because this is Andrew Dillon. He's the big cheese. He's the CEO of the AFL, talking about when he found out. And to be honest, he wasn't even that concerned.
We are unapologetic about club and AFL doctors taking the correct steps to ensure that any player who they believe has an illicit substance in their system does not take place in any AFL match, and the doctor-patient confidentiality is upheld and respected.
Now, I feel sorry for all the clubs, because the coaches don't even know. The administration don't know. Only the doc who is lying, which I thought that wouldn't have been a part of your doctor certificate to be able to lie, and also the player. Now, this is Mick Malthouse. He's one of the greatest coaches of AFL of all time, and he was not happy. He's on the same, and I'm on Mick's side with this, and I can't believe how many generations are absolutely sticking up that it's okay to have drugs during the week when you're a professional athlete. I find it ridiculous, but this is Mick Malthouse.
I'm staggered. I'm so disappointed. This is a great game. This is a game that should go forward, not backwards. The responsibility as a football coach is not just a player running down the race. It's far greater. You owe it to the supporters, you owe it to the club, and you owe it to their parents that you look after that player as best you possibly can to ensure that he goes forward, not backwards.
Yeah. I just find that this is absolutely ridiculous that you can allow players to have these testing outside of game day, behind closed doors, and then get away with it? Like, what happens when they retire and they're still relying on drugs?
Mm. Well, what I think is ridiculous, and I think there's so much BS being spoken by the AFL and the clubs. Now, the clubs are the ones that hire these doctors. The administration hire the doctors. There is one reason that doctor is testing a player for illicit substances. It's to protect them from being banned for 4 years or whatever you say.
Yeah, absolutely.
One reason. There's no other reason that they would test for illicit drugs.
No, that's right.
So they all know that the doctors are doing it for that reason.
Yeah, but the clubs don't know. The clubs don't.
They hire the doctor.
Yeah, but the doctor, confidentiality, they don't know who the doctor's testing. You're not allowed to.
They know when the doctor says, oh, old mate Barry, who's just kicked 100 goals in the last 5 weeks, all of a sudden he's got gastro, even though he's just trained like demon.
I listened to a few of the coaches yesterday, and the coaches don't know. Simon Goodwin, the coach of the Melbourne Football Club, absolutely had no idea. And I actually felt sorry for the coaches, but I can't believe that the doctors are allowed to lie like this.
But they know that the coaches can't not know whether a player is injured or not. They're there watching, scrutinising, watching every replay of every game. They know that if a doctor comes back and says, oh, yeah, old mate, he's got a tweak in his hammy, even though he played 1,000 minutes, they know.
Last night, it was really interesting on your point. Mick Malthouse, who's a legendary coach, he was saying that he's now calling into question whether or not he knew for sure why a player was missing. So he felt very in the dark about it. It's not something that happened, he says, under his watch.
Yeah, I understand what I'm saying, though.
Yeah, I know.
The coach watches every single second of every single game.
Yeah, I know that. But so, unfortunately, now for the AFL, it is the integrity of the game is absolutely gone. You think about all the betting and the gambling. They're going to lose sponsors. They're going to lose a lot of credibility over this. Yeah. And there's no doubt that now you revamp the drug code around AFL and I think a lot of other codes, and it's very, very disappointing. And I think a lot of players like myself are embarrassed to be AFL players when you can get away with this.
That's a terrible thing to have to hear you say, because you're so proud of it. 291 games in this
league.
Well,
we're all in the same boat. You know,
it's unfair to the good players.
But I was injured a couple of times and now people are going to question that.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, CEO's attitude there in that grab you just played for us, that was disgusting to me. That was spin. That was political spin, saying we're doing the right thing by the players. No, you're not. And you made a great point that you've got to get them off drugs then before they leave the game.
Absolutely.
Is this the biggest issue the AFL has faced in decades?
Absolutely. Drugs in sport is a big issue, and I can't believe that people can say, oh, it's a society thing. No, it isn't. You're a professional athlete. You shouldn't do it.
Let's go. On a meteoric rise to the top.
Okay, just going now live for the Triple M Gold back deck. We had to
absolutely, we're here, Al. Don't panic. We are here. No, this is what we love about it. We never panic. But a big round of applause for LAB joining us right now. We'll kick it off, Stu. Hey, Stu, I've got to ask you, when did you realise, you know, coming out of New Zealand, that you're starting to make it big?
It kind of all happened really quick. Our first album done really well, and wasn't until the third album, In the Air, came out, and that just really skyrocketed. But our live shows have always been really strong, our strongest point, I think.
Well, I think you're being pretty humble. Have a listen to this. You've won Best Group, Best Song, Best Album, 2 years in a row at the New Zealand Music Awards. You've taken our Best Song at the Rolling Stone Awards. You've been voted New Zealand's Best Live Act by Radio New Zealand. You are on fire. Come on, out of the three of you here today, who's got the biggest head? And I don't mean literally. Come on. Stu?
No.
All right, we're running with you. All right, Joel, I'm going to put it straight on you. Obviously, we have so much competition across the Dutch.
Yeah.
What do Aussies do better than Kiwis? What do Kiwis do better than Aussies?
Man, I don't know. To be honest, I think you guys have the lifestyle down over here on the coast, you know, in Australia. People come over, a lot of Kiwis come over here, you know.
We have noticed.
Really? Yeah. Hello, good morning to Upper Coomera.
Yeah.
The capital of New Zealand.
All right, who makes better husbands, Kiwis or Aussies?
Oh, definitely Kiwis, yeah. I'm not even looking at you, mate.
Okay, Miaru, what does your name actually mean?
My mum was told she couldn't have kids, but I came along out of nowhere, and so it means wonderful.
I thought you were going to say a swear word, like, holy.
Yeah. So his name means wonderful. I'd say he's the one with the biggest head.
Just trying to live up to that.
Just like, but things have really exploded for you guys, and this weekend you get to go to Blues Fest in Byron Bay. You'll be knocking around with some of the most famous people in the world. Who are you looking forward to meeting?
Man, I think we share the stage straight after us is like Matt Corby or something. Mm.
Oh, he's a freak.
That'll be cool. Yeah.
He is an amazing singer. Yeah. So what are you going to sing for us today?
We're going to play a song called Oh No, which is off our sixth album.
Ooh. And before we do, you know, Blues Fest isn't it. You're still going to Vegas. You've had a lot of tours and you're still continuing to tour.
Yeah, for sure. We've got quite a big string of gigs coming up on sort of west coast of America, a whole month of it.
Wow, and a new album just released.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we're pumped on the new album and it's going really well, so yeah, stoked.
And where can people get it? Like, what's the best place? Like,
well, YouTube, Spotify, all those things, you know. But man, if you're old school, grab yourself a vinyl because we're selling vinyls. And
we
CDs,
saw the vinyl come in here today. Yeah. Who designed the record cover? Because you know, years ago when you know we were all growing up, it was all about the record cover.
Yeah, exactly. Like we spotted this girl, Natalie Mental, and she just draws everything by hand. She gets her pens and stuff from Germany and stuff like that. But me and Brad and a couple of us, quite old school, and we've always been into that vinyl cover stuff because it's always like something that speaks to you, you know? You can make up your own sort of picture when you look at all these vinyls, and when you have a whole stack of them, they just look great.
Can I just say how relieved I am that you didn't say that ChatGPT did it or AI? I kind of knew that about you guys.
No, we let her do it by hand. Fantastic. And we just give her creative freedom. We give her a bit of an idea, but she does it all by hand. Nothing's digital. It's
just, what was the idea you did give her?
This one was Man Against Machine, sort of like how the AI has sort of kind of just taken over and everything.
Now, can I ask a personal question? I'm going to New Zealand today. Can't wait. Beer of choice down there, just to run through, because it's always a divide.
Hey, what are you saying that for? Oh, man, to be honest, I'm a Lion Red fan, you know, deep down.
Yeah.
You know, if I have to, that's where I go to. Yeah, I'm old school. I'm not ashamed of it.
They deliver it in tankers, then, like kind of like Dr. Pooh does over here.
Yeah. At least I didn't say Waikato because that's even worse.
But, well,
that's like drinking the Narang River.
Well, again, you have to tell us what's the best Aussie beer.
Ooh.
What are you drinking?
Voy Boy.
Yeah, he's a man of my own heart.
You've obviously worded him up.
Yeah, and you can pronounce it probably too.
Yeah. Don't worry, I can spell it. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, give him a round of applause, please. LAB, live here on the Triple N Gold Back Deck.
She lives the life she brings, crazy living on the string. No one can take her down, making troubles in her town. No one exists with the loving relations. That's the price for her freedom. She's taking all the drugs, she's free, living on the ecstasy. For now, she set your heart on fire. For now, no. She gonna play it like a choir, yeah. 'Cause every man would want what every man can have. You have to break these chains to make another day. If everything left up all to you, we never change our ways to make the same mistakes. Him and I, he watching everything he sees. His time is opportunity. No one can take her head. I love you, she tells every man. Yeah. But she'll keep you just to hide all your worries. Sleep with you and take all your money. Don't go with her, just have a look. Your heart and everything she took, yeah. So now, she set your heart on fire. Cause every man would want what every man can have. You have to break these chains to make another day. If everything we do was left up all to you, we never change our ways to make the same mistake. Cause every man would want what every man can have. You'd have to break these chains to make another day. If everything we do was left up all to you, we never change our ways to make the same mistake. Oh no, set your heart on fire. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh no, 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 no. She's gonna play you like a choir.
A big round of applause. LAB, you send me the Crossroads stage tomorrow night, Byron Bay Blues Fest. A big thank you to Warner Brothers as well to make this possible to come in here to Triple M and play on our Triple M gold back deck. Big round of applause. Thank you very much. Another round of applause.
Yeah.
Great job.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Awesome. And just want to make sure you've got your red bands ready for the night. It's a bit muddy down there.